Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is a place where the conversation is pointed right there. The guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. We have the amazing Wendy Lee right there from Virginia here. She is a clean comedian. Who does that? Richard Pryor would be so disappointed. But I am so pleased to have this sister with us here. We are going to laugh. We're going to find out how comedy found her. It's a novelty for a woman to be in this space, but also to have a punch, a laugh, a giggle in a Christian format in the church. Hallelujah. We're gonna pray hands on the lay hands on the jokes. If I can get myself together here, I'm still tired. I just got back from a trip. It seemed like I'm still on it. So welcome her to the edge, Miss Wendy Lee. How are you, baby?
Woo-hoo. I am fantabulous. I am so excited to be here. I mean, you know, I'm glad I was on time. I was worried about being late for this here broadcast, even though it's pre-recorded. But you know, I still got to be on time because I don't do CP time. I don't do nothing like that.
And listen, I'm telling you, folks just don't know how to be on time. And it's so disrespectful when folks is late.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's rude. And you know what? You talked about laying hands on that. I would like to lay hands on all the single men that's out there. And I'm giving out early prostate exams. You know, for Christmas.
You gonna lay hands on them? Well, maybe you need my pointer.
Yes, indeed. But thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be had.
I know. Yeah, it's so amazing. And look at that $1 million smile.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I brush my teeth especially for you and all the brains.
Girl, and you got some floss in there too. I don't see a piece of collard green in there nowhere.
Oh, not nowhere. All the collard greens is in the pot. What you know about collard greens over there?
Girl, I know about collard greens. I can cook some collard greens. And some cornbread. Yes. But what you do? Do you still put salt pork or turkey necks? What you put in your green?
Put a piece of ham on. But you know, I'm on a health kick. You know, actually I'm not, but I'm just doing that for perpetrating. But yeah, but put smoked turkey necks up in there, or smoked turkey wings.
I know my brother was so funny, girl. He didn't like no turkey necks. Everything was a pork butt, a turkey butt.
Oh,
he was into the butts.
Typical man for you, a typical man. You know.
He said it had more flavor, but it was up there with that prostate. Now we've been talking about prostate.
You on that finger, man? I need to give me a finger.
I'll send you one, okay? But all jokes aside, I really am so glad to have you here. And to have a woman in the comedic space is amazing. I see a lot of women out there, and, you know, no disrespect to their craft, but all that vulgarity, all the, you know, just every other word is somebody mama, or, you know, you done did it a certain kind of way and all that kind of stuff. It diminishes from the joke. It diminishes from the punchline. And you weren't even looking for comedy. And you found it in the church.
Well,
Tell us a little bit about that, sister.
I can tell you a lot of bit about it. I like telling my story, but I'm gonna try to make it quick, you know, to keep the brains engaged and everything. I'm trying to get engaged. Speaking of engaged, I'm trying to get engaged myself. I don't know if I said it already, but in case I didn't, I'm single, you know, looking to be plural. I'm available, and if I think I'm cute, that's just for the men only right now. Men only right now. Just right now. Okay. Anyway, well, yes. I never aspired to be a comedian. It's just amazing. When I was younger, I know this was not something on my mind, but when I moved to where I am now, I've actually been in Virginia all my life, shame on me, but when I moved to the location that I am right now, I went to this church to support the talent show. This church was having a talent show, and I just went to support it, and the pastor actually made the announcement several times that they needed more participants. And so I was just thinking, what can I do? Because at that time, I actually had a host of talents. Now, I have retired some of those talents. And some of those talents was just for a season. Let me use church jargon. A season.
Yes, use your church lexicon.
Yeah. So actually, I write poetry. I still do it. You know, I wrote poetry at the time, but somebody had already presented poetry. I sung a little bit. Somebody already sang a song. I did a liturgical dance. Somebody already did a dance. So I'm like, oh, what can I do? I just wanted to do something different. And that's just a big part of my personality as well. I thrive on being different. So I'm like, what can I do that have not already been presented tonight? And it just popped into my mind to tell some jokes. And so what I did was I wrote down, you know, every church appropriate thing that I could think of. And it's nothing, actually I didn't create any comedy that night. I just told jokes that we shared in high school and in college. And I went up there, presented it to the congregation. And when I walked back to my seat, the pastor of the church called me back up. Now, mind you, I was visiting this church. I was not a member. I was visiting this church, and the pastor called me back up, and he prayed over me, and he spoke words over me, prophetic words, and said, you know, I see you have an awesome talent. I see God taking you before great men. And he said, I want to be the first one to sow into your ministry. They took up an offering for me that night.
Oh, they paid you?
Hunter, yes!
You didn't have to pay them!
Wow, you know what? I never looked at it that way, April. I have never, all the times I've told that story, I never looked at it that way. So how about that? I got paid the first time I took and did comedy in front of an audience.
Okay. I told you that's how I got to do it.
Woo! All right. Yes. And so what happened was they invited me back. The pastor invited me back the following year to host the talent show. And so I knew nothing about hosting, but what I did, you know, I asked him some questions, and the pastor gave me some pointers. So what I decided to do was to visit the church a few weeks before the talent show that second year. And I decided to dress up like some of the members of the church and mimic what they did.
Oh, no, you didn't, girl.
Honey, I did. And they absolutely loved it. And that's when at the conclusion of that talent show, someone asked me for my business card. And I said, I'm not in business. I'm not a comedian. I'm just having fun. And they said, well, will you come to my church and do what you did tonight? I said, sure. And it was a domino effect. Went to that church, the same thing happened. May I have your business card? I'm not in business. I'm not a comedian. I'm just having fun. So for seven years, that's how I did it. I wrote for 7 years, just quote unquote, air quotes, just having fun. And
wait. And you've been eating off that for 7 years off that one offering? Hallelujah.
Yes, honey. That what it was. Lord bless you. Wow. Bless you, Karen. Yes. Yeah.
And so what sparks your material? So you dressed up like a lot of the members of the church the first time.
Yeah.
So how do you keep that going? But you know, I say this with all due respect. The church can be a funny place, girl. All you gotta do is sit in the corner and observe.
Well, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So during that 7 year span of time, I think I was really finding myself trying to figure out who I was as a comedian. And even though I never labeled myself a comedian, But I do. I went through a whole lot of changes. I went through an evolution during that 7 year period because I used to dress up just any little goofy. I was just being goofy and literally just having fun. I used to wear a green wig. I wore a doctor's coat one time. You know, I had some hula hoops, some ball. I mean, just because during that time too, churches were inviting me to come to entertain really their youth ministry. Really.
Okay, so, right.
A majority of that, you know, was what it was. And so just really, I was taking things from what happened at church during that time. Now it has evolved even some more since then. I was taking things that happened at church. And even when I read scriptures, I would see a double meaning of a word or double meaning of a scripture using puns or, you know, and things of that nature. And really just mimicking the preacher, mimicking the pastor, people in the pews. I mean, stuff that we do during worship service. Yes, honey, it is a lot of material in the church. Yes, in the church.
Okay, yes. So now you compile all of this and you go out and people are seeing you. Have you gotten a television special yet?
Oh, no, that's on my list of things to do. No.
Okay, well, I'm gonna speak a prophetic word to you right now. I'm gonna lay hands on it. Through the Zoom screen, okay? You receive a system, okay?
Yeah, I do.
That is so funny.
Yeah, yes, and I absolutely love it. It has been what I call a beautiful surprise, where I get to combine the two things that I love, making people laugh. And it's funny, I didn't even know that this would be something I enjoy. That's why I call it a beautiful surprise. It's like, this is just... I absolutely love it. I've gotten to travel all across the U.S., you know, to different churches. I mean,
you got to come down here. I'm going to get you somebody down here to, as soon as this COVID girl went.
Okay. Not a problem. Have mask. We'll travel. Have mask. We'll travel. Amen.
Okay. Amen. I don't know how you're going to get there because folks is fighting on the plane. Did you hear about the woman today? They're going to jump on you because they ask you to wear a mask and your seatbelt on. And so then the flight attendant gets jumped on.
Crazy. I would not want to be a flight attendant in this COVID world. You know, because people crazy. You know, I think it's just people been locked up in the house so long, they just done got crazy, either by themselves or with the cat, the dog, the spouse, with the children.
I say they've been crazy and now they got an opportunity to cut loose. Yeah.
Absolutely, because you can't you can't bring out what's not already in there. That's how I feel about it. People talk about you bring the worst out of me. No, we're the worst in there.
So we on vacation, right? We just go on vacation. And I learned a lot about boundaries.
Okay.
This past week. Yeah. Because mine was tested. So we going down this windy road. Girl, now again, I am from California. I'm a city girl. I don't know nothing about these dark back roads. And saw a sign that said deer crossing. And girl and my husband, we in this big old truck and he going 70 miles an hour. And I'm telling you, my heart is going like this, jumping out my chest. And I was like, oh my God, I'm praying the whole way. I called Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the whole family. Girl, I had to call them all up. I was like, great. My patience was tested. Then I get to the thing and we walking around. Now this man is walking behind us. He got these two flags hanging out of his backpack. And I'm being nice, being cordial. He trying to push my buttons. He asked me about a situation that happened here during the Black Lives Matter. I told him, I said, I don't want to talk about it. You know, trying to push my buttons, right?
Yes.
I wanted to snatch that flag and just slap him all up the back of his head. People are really will test your boundaries.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that is.
Do you find that in comedy? You know, you do clean comedy, but do you find people in the audience trying to test your boundaries and heckle you?
Well, no. Actually, the people on my Facebook page and people in my personal life. Yeah, people in my Facebook page and on my personal life. Well, yeah, try to, you know.
I come at you with that keyboard courage.
Yes, honey. Yes, honey. Yes. And see what they don't know, because I pride myself. I believe that I am a healer. So I try to be careful. I want people to leave my show, leave my presence, feeling better about themselves. You know, so I don't do roasts. You know, I don't do the thing picking on people, doing personal attacks, you know, for a cheap joke. I don't do that. But what people don't know, they don't know. Let me see. They don't know. you can't bring out what's not in there. I have the capability. Isn't it? I can do it. I just choose not to because I know I'm a healer. But don't test me. Don't test me. Don't
exactly.
Test me.
Don't yeah, test me. And that's what I'm saying too.
On my page, don't test me. Don't test me. We're pushing the boundary. I mean, well, people come up, yeah, with the keyboard carriage. But as far as people wanting me to go, yeah, to the not so clean side, that happened earlier in my career, actually at the church I used to go to. When a guy found out, one of the members found out I did comedy. And he said, oh, wow, when you do it in churches, he said, oh, that means you're clean. I'm like, yeah, I'm clean. And he said, well, you know what? I think you need to cuss a little bit because I just add something to it. That just made the joke more funny. But it's like, that's not who I am. And, you know, and I believe that I have to be true to myself. Yeah, if other people want to do that, that's fine. But it's not even my nature. Right. I don't cuss in my private life. So why would I get on stage and try to do that? Especially with the venues, the main venues I do, which is churches. Why would I want to do that? First of all, right. Why? And then, you know, there are some people who tell me to go to other venues where they pay you more. I will not sell out. This is just my personal standard for myself. I will not sell out because it's not who I am. Now, well, get me mad, though.
You know, even vulgarity, there's people on my show or they'll want to come and guess, and I won't allow them to guess because I'll look at their profile, I'll look at their page, and yes. This is how they greet you. You know, they got a big old smile. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm saying,
yeah.
That does not give you power. That does not give you influence. You know, there is over 7 million words that we could use, and people want to use the filthiest 10.
Yes.
I think that that's funny.
Yes.
And that's a part of their vernacular all day, every day. But on the flip side, sometimes it is funny. Because when you get somebody like a Dave Chappelle or Richard Pryor, you know, but when you see women just take it to a whole different level and their whole hour and 20 or 2 hour set, every other word is that, I get kind of bored with it. I don't find it, you know, I don't find it funny anymore. Not even that it's not attractive, but it's not funny anymore. I'm waiting for you to say something that's really going to tickle my funny bone. But comedy is very, very delicate right now because you can't say nothing about nobody. Blind, crippled, crazy, gay, fat, black, white. And who can you make fun of these days?
True. And that's why I'm glad I'm not out there yet, because I got all these liberties on my personal page since I'm not a big name yet. However, you know, the thing is, there's always yourself to talk about, you know. And so now that is a lot of what my comedy is about now, you know. And it has been liberating. It has absolutely been liberating for me to talk about myself for the longest time. You know, all my material was church stuff, even though it worked for me. You know, I guess I use this word very, try to be humble, but my fame spread by word of mouth. I did very little advertising, very little. And I just started to advertise like last year, 2020, but it's been wonderful. Yeah, you know, and like I said, it has worked for me. It has really worked for me with mimicking preachers, talk about what happened in church. But the most liberating thing for me, and I think because it was time, was in 2019. What? That was the first time I actually took a comedy writing course. Yeah, so that's just amazing. But it opened my eyes. It grew me up. And it allowed me to write a nice set about myself. And it was so liberating. And it was funny, April. That was the first time that I found comedy to be therapeutic for me. Because prior to then, I heard so many comedians say, you know, well, the stage is my therapy. But for me, prior to 2019, my reward was to hear people laugh. The fact that I could bring some joy and allow people to forget about whatever they were going through for however long, you know, I was on stage. But comedy became therapeutic for me when I wrote personally about myself. And you know, the thing that I'm a Christian woman, still single, in my 40s, ain't never been married. I mean, and how I don't like that.
You ain't been married.
I ain't even been engaged, man.
You ain't even been engaged.
I mean,
Somebody missing the boat. Because see, you know what? You can be intimidating. That's what women like about a man. You know, if he got some good teeth, he smell good, and he can make you laugh, he might get a second date. But they feel intimidated by you though, because see, you're the joke mistress. You can make them laugh.
Well, check this out. Don't tell nobody, even though I'm knowing this going all across the world, all across the globe, and all across the universe, and in the solar system, and the galaxies, and the Milky Ways, and everything, because you out there like that. Yeah. Here's the thing. Even though I get to travel, I get to be exposed to all these different places that I go with comedy. See, I spend a little bit of time on a dating scene, on the interwebs. Let me make a word. Oh, on the interwebs. And let me tell you something. I know that I'm not that big that people know about me. And so I actually kept it under wraps. I kept it under wraps when I was out there on the dating scene for that span of time, that I was a comedian. Because people tend to think differently. And plus, it wasn't my main thing. I was working another job. And now I still have another job, but comedy is my main source of income. Thank the Lord.
You got your J-O-B?
Yeah, on the side, on the side. Yeah, so actually, how about that? Comedy is my main thing, but I got a side job that I work. Hey, woo, that sounds real good to say.
We gonna talk about the book here in a minute. But have you done any DVDs? Have you done any CDs? Come on now.
Not yet. Right now, all I got is a YouTube presence. But no. But that's on the way.
Well, you know that YouTube is rough. It's got a rough algorithm too to get people to go in there and sit there and pay attention. But I can see you doing something audibly, and go ahead and do that download. We talk about it offline.
Because
it's really, you know, it could be working for you and generating you money like everything else. Show us the book. Let me see the book.
Let me put it. It's called Pourer. P-O-U-R, not the P-O-O-R, because I ain't none of that. Pourer. And this is actually a collaboration with some other sisters there. They got my cute picture on the scene, the cute picture right
now. Where you at here? Wait, you gotta get up there. Let me see.
The first one on there, because guess what? I got chapter number one. So I must have been
But I like that because the hair got the side swoop. You got the swooping, y'all.
Yeah. Got my little mohawk going on. What a cute. Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. Yeah. So this book is actually a collaboration with other women, other entrepreneurs. And we were to share how our business pours into others, or how others pouring into us has helped our business. And so the title of my chapter is called Whole Vessels Hold More Water. Yeah, made your brain tingle, didn't it?
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and so, and actually that chapter is, I get real serious there with some elements of humor, but I actually just journeyed my healing process, where I didn't even know that I had issues, because I've wrestled with
you didn't know you had issues.
I ain't know I had issues.
You was issue free.
I mean, I did. I thought I was born up. I'm born like that. I just thought I came out the womb all perfect and everything. You know, I was naked. You know, I was naked. I just wondered why people ran around.
Naked as a jaybird.
I had to get used to clothes, because you know, I spent the first 9 months of my life, you know, in the nakedness and in the dark, and I was cool. I was nice and warm and everything, chilling. And then here come, and the first thing I see, people are looking at me, and they're gonna wrap me up, and then they're gonna spank me. I mean, I kind of like that.
But let me tell you something. My mother was passing away, and Dr. Cornell West told me something I'll never forget. He goes, you know, when you come into the world, it's already cruel. He says, because you entering into it in between urination and defecation, and you're coming out in a puddle of blood and slime. And I was like, woo, what a visual was that? Woo. He said, but you know what? When you get out, they done threw you a party. They gave a baby shower. Everybody happy to see you. They want to wipe you off. They want to clean you. They want to hold you, cradle you. He said, but when you go to your second destination, some going to be forced out, pushed out, cut out. He said, and they're going to die. Ooh. But they're going through another portal. He said, but just know when they get there, they done threw you another party. There's other people waiting for you.
What? And- on the main line.
Exactly. So, but it is so important that you get yourself together and get ready for whatever comes next. Because this COVID's going to take us out, girl, one way or another.
Yeah.
Mentally,
I mean,
spiritually, and financially. Folks don't even want to go back to work, Wendy.
But you ain't lying. Talking about, you know, if COVID take me out, at least that's it. Hope that ain't the only way I get taken out. You know, I'm as cute as I am. I'm just trying to get a date, but I don't want COVID to take me out. I like to be a nice, you know, 40, 50-year-old man, you know.
Yeah, what does your ideal man look like? Paint me a picture.
Morris Chestnut.
Oh, I mean, Lord. You like him like your coffee. Tall, strong, and black.
Well. You know, now that's the outer. That's the outer. But you took it. That's the first thing I went to. But you know what? It's really, I think, you know, an ugly man will really bless my soul.
You don't want nobody cuter than you. That's what you don't
want. You ain't lying. And my daddy told me that. He said, you don't want no pretty boy. Because I know most people, they go Shamar Moore, you know, something like that. You know, he cute. That's fine. But, you know, I think I want a chocolate thunder. Chocolate thunder. Yeah, somebody with a stripper name. But, yeah. But, no, but actually somebody who's kind, you know, who, you know, strong, a handyman. Yeah, somebody can work on the stuff, or work on me. Somebody that can pick me.
I was telling somebody that the other day. I can't stand a man that can't fix nothing. Can't change a tire, can't change a light bulb, can't build a fence, can't do nothing, girl. I don't like that kind of man.
Yeah, I need a handyman. Somebody can fix up everything. I mean, with a tool belt, you know, so we can role play. Amen. Role play. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I want.
Would you take a preacher? Now, you'd have been in the church. Would you be a first lady? Could you take a preacher man? Wow.
No, honey, no. I've been seeing what happened. I've been in church too long. No. Because I will have to, you know what? You're my last name, Lee, now. Because I'll have to open up a can. Bruce is my uncle. He taught me some things. I have to wax on, wax off, even though that's Karate Kid. But no, and I don't want to share. I'm just going to, let me just tell the whole truth. I don't want to share. You let me tell you, if Sister Lulu be calling my husband at all crazy time,
When come on, hey, I need the pastor to come over to pray on me, lay hands on me. Hallelujah. This, that, yeah, it's always.
I got the fivefold ministry right here for you. Fred Sample style. Yes, indeed. Fivefold ministry right there for you. Ain't gonna be no laying on hands for me. The fivefold. So I need the time. I can't have no doctor. Can't have nobody travel a whole lot. No, I need somebody because I need time. I've been single all my life. I got a whole lot of making up to do. Got a whole lot of No, I'm gonna be selfish for a while. No, I don't need.
Well, you know, hey, it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And you know, the world is the dating scene is a lot different now. They got this online. I had a woman, a guest on my show, bless her heart. She was catfished out of $450,000 in 3 months. Wendy, I said, Carol. Did he kiss you? Did he at least send you a picture of his junk? What could he have gotten for almost $500,000? I mean, he said, oh no, you can't do that. You know, they'll shut your page down. I said, well, what was he saying to you?
I mean,
He had the Mac on a girl in 3 months. He got $500,000 out of her. Now, what in the world's going on with that?
You know, I might be in the wrong business, or maybe I need to do another side gig.
Okay, or maybe be a little bit more liberal with the people that you arguing with on the internet.
Well, maybe you're wrong. Yeah, catfish. Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how, you know, I've never been in that predicament where somebody's words so smooth to make me empty out my bank account like that. No, you gonna have a problem getting $20 out of me. You know, I'm a little
baby. That's what I said. That you go out and ask me to pay for dinner one or two many times, I'm done with you. Stick a fork in and I'm done.
No. Okay, maybe I need to look into catfishing. Let me see.
Yeah, put that on your list.
Yes, I'm going to look. Yeah, because I've been looking for another side hustle.
Wait. And then she said, and he had the nicest German accent. Girl, come to find out they was from Nigeria. It was a team of three or four of them. And I said, baby, you can't tell a Nigerian accent from German. She said, oh, no, he had a fine German accent.
Wow.
Told her that he needed money to get a visa because he was going to see his mother.
Lord have mercy.
So I'm going to pay for you to go see your mom.
How many times did he go see her? I mean, the $500,000. I mean, how?
No. Wait, it get better.
He gonna go
see his mama. Then he get over there and I need a little extra money to get my visa. Okay, so now I got the visa. Now I need some money for the airline ticket. Now he's sitting over there with mama. Mama probably over there in the coffee shop with him and his other Nigerian buddies. He needs to get equipment because he's gonna do some work to get the money to pay you back because he's gonna come and see you. Oh, they played her favorite songs. Didn't send her no flowers. Kept promising he was going to come see her. Kept saying she kept writing big checks, $10,000, $20,000. I was like, what in the world? I would hate for him to see her in person. He would have really put the spin golly on her.
Well, okay, now earlier I said that, women only, but if it's a woman like that, men only, but if it's a woman like that, there's no $500,000. No, I can catfish. I mean, look, I ain't even have to see. I ain't have to give up nothing. I ain't have to take no pregnancy test.
Didn't even have to take a COVID test for that one. Forget a pregnancy test. In that case,
I'm kind of open to a woman that got that kind of as long as I ain't got the meat.
But really, all jokes aside, she said that she was married to a very narcissistic man. Wow. He was very controlling. And then when he died, he left her a boatload of money. So then she could just run wild.
Ooh.
Okay? Then she got like you. She got butt naked.
I was born just going back to my natural state. Okay. All right. But she did it online. Okay.
Online. And I just could not believe it. And then she was so embarrassed that she didn't know how to tell her family or her friends. So she got the rest of the little money she had. She got a private investigator, which when they caught them, they was transporting cars on freights to the other country. Oh, they got her. They got her real good.
What in the world?
So what do you say to a woman, though, that has low self-esteem and things are not funny?
Yeah.
They're pretty serious in her life. How does she find joy? What would you say to that sister?
You know what? The new buzzword now is self-love and self-care. And and I'm not trying to be buzzy, but that's what it took for me. Cause and I could only speak for myself. And that's amazing that you asked that question, because that's a journey that I'm yet going through. As far as increasing my self-esteem, my self-confidence, and really learning to, first of all, love myself. And getting to know who Wendy is, even though I'm in my fourth decade here on earth. But I mean, it really comes from within. And I used to hate when people would say that to me. But I mean, I'm learning now personally, learning that comes from within. You really have to love yourself, get to know yourself, and do things. You know what? To put it very simply, I've learned to be my own best friend. Right. Be my own best friend and get things. Because I mean, there are gifts I have bought. I mean, not only romantically, but this is how I used to be, April. I used to get, even as a child, I was reflecting back, even as a child, I used to get toys that I thought other children would like. So I would let them play with it and think that they would be my friend because I have allowed them to play with my toys. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. So this thing with me started in childhood, where I wasn't even loving myself. I wasn't even enjoying the things that I enjoy or getting the things I enjoy, I was trying to please other people.
Right.
So, and so that's what I would say to the woman who was experiencing low self-esteem, low self-confidence, is to really love you and right. get to know yourself and love the person you are. I mean, flaws and all and just begin to pamper yourself. And it's not like you have to spend money on yourself, but just learn, because some people, you know, right. maybe not have the finances to buy all these things. But I mean, there are simple things that you can do. I mean, even cooking your favorite meal.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I said, girl. I give myself a bath.
Yeah.
I put lotion and massage my legs.
Yeah.
And I will go to the movies by myself. Right. I will sit at the table at the restaurant and order myself a fine meal with a bottle of wine.
Yes.
Okay. And affirmations in the mirror. You know, I am positive. I am love. I am joy. I am worthy. What else is possible? How can it be any better than this? Ask these things with a curious mind, and you will be surprised what is revealed.
Yeah. You know. And then the biggest thing I'm yet learning now is to do things for me. And I'm gonna get very candid right now. Do things for me, even with looking decent, because I spent a lot of days at home, but I would be just lounging around, just looking raggedy at home. But
you be looking tall from the floor up.
But something as minute as that, as getting dressed up for me,
right?
You know, even though I'm going to be the only one in the house, I'm not expecting company at all. But getting dressed up, looking nice. For me, and because I was learning, just looking at my life and learning, I'm doing so many things for other people. And even getting back to the meal, you know, just because it's just me at the house, you know, I was throw something together and just eat on paper plates, you know.
Right.
But the thing is, don't I deserve? And I remember I used to invite people over, and I would have the whole shebang, and have the nicest dish, the nicest china, and set up a place, you know. Prepare, set up everything, fork, nice spoon, nice wine glasses, even though I didn't drink wine, but have a nice vessel for them to drink out of. But I ain't do it for myself. But I deserve this. You know, I deserve to do all these things for myself. And even this Christmas, I'm buying myself a gift.
You're going to go shopping for yourself and be sure to wrap it. Be sure to wrap it real nice and take your time just unpeeling it and unveiling it. Yes.
And guess what? I'm going to act surprised when I open it too. I'm like, what? How you know I want this?
You're funny. You are funny. That is good. So what does, now you have something else. Let me see them t-shirts, girl.
I want that t-shirt. Because you know what? I'm creative, April. So I got the purple t-shirt and this one, I got my hip hop Bibles for the people that go to my website.
Okay, yeah, now wait. Now what you're gonna have to do is, because we got too much activity going on there. I need you to slide back. And put it to the side so that we can see. Yes, darling. Okay. Now let me give you the full
screen. I'm in the corner. I know it looks blue, but it's purple, because church folk love that royal color. This is purple.
What does it say? What do it say?
I'm gonna take it down. I got it in black too. I got it in black and gold.
Okay.
Wait
a minute. I can't see it now. Okay. Let me see. If my peeps would stop tripping and hollering at me, I'll holler back and it will be all good.
Yes. Okay. Now look, that is Second Chronicles. That is Second Chronicles 7:14. You know, and actually,
I got to go back and read that, because I didn't know they were hollering in the Bible.
But that's the verse I had to translate it. The actual scripture says, if my people call by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and will I hear from heaven, forgive sin, and heal the land. That's a lot to say. That's a long scripture. But see, I broke it down. I broke it down in hip hop terms. If my peeps will stop tripping and holler at me, I'll holler back, and it'll be all good.
Okay, I need, I'm gonna holler at you. I need you to send me one of them. Do you take cash, credit, PayPal, Venmo?
I'm on it. Let me take it back. I don't know, you know, what the demographics of your listening audience, but let me take it back. I do EBT, I do green stamps and all that. Green stamps. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's for the senior crowd. But AARP people. Yeah, you do the green stamps.
Are you serious? Is there a thing called green stamps?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It might be just on the East Coast. Maybe it's an East Coast Southern thing. But yeah, I used to have green stamps. When I was growing up, for certain books, you get stamps when you buy like household items.
And absolutely. And then you go, we call blue chip. We have blue chip stamps here.
Okay. And when the card got full, you can get a free gift.
Wow.
Yeah, get a free gift. So yeah, green stamps. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yes, all that. All that. Take IOUs. No, I don't. Let's scratch that. I'm going to IOU. No.
But the struggle is real, you know, and to go out and to be able to travel. Uh-huh. You have an entourage, girl. You got your hair girl and your driver, and you got everything in the green room that you want. You got your whole entourage when you travel.
Well, not yet. Every now and then I do have a passenger. They don't want to drive for me. Bless their heart. They want to ride. Bless their heart. And they want a free ticket.
Yeah, they want to give you a free.
Bless their heart. They want a free ticket. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, they want a free, especially when I'm doing, you know, if I'm opening for somebody well known, you know, largely. Yeah, I got somebody to travel a distance, you know.
And well, we got to get you to open up for some Kirk Franklin and some BC Wine and all them.
That'd be lovely. So far the biggest name. Well, big deal for me was Leandria Johnson. I opened for her. Yeah, so that was awesome. That's the highlight of my career so far. Yes.
So far, you know what? And the world is a big old oyster, and you are a pearl. You really are.
Yes.
And I thank you so much for being here with us on the edge. You have just tickled my funny bone. I got to go in and edit, filter some of this stuff.
Yes, hallelujah. I've been so honorary and so blessified to be champ. I got my own vocabulation. But I want to put my website out there.
Absolutely. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, because I know
the brains. And so that they know what's going on in the future.
Yes, indeed. So right now I got a gig going, because a lot of my things are private. I mean, here lately I've been doing a lot of birthday parties. And you know, and just exclusive celebrations for church staff and all that. But you know, and Christmas parties, especially here in December, because I know it's gonna be played for a while. But
we
in the holiday season, so right now, yes.
I like to say, follow Freaky Law. You know, it can be Christmas. It can be Christmas any day on the
there
end.
There you go. Absolutely.
Any day.
Absolutely. But yes, but my website is all two of my names. Yeah, we didn't even discuss how I got the name Quiet Song, but that's all right.
The interview ain't over. See, I like to put your information in the middle somewhere, because you know folks get that itchy finger and get the clicking off.
Right. So that my website is Wendy Lee, just like it's spelled. Ain't no surprise. It's Wendy Lee Quiet Storm. WendyLeeQuietStorm.com. You can go there. You can check out my hip hop Bible teas on there. My book there. If you want to order a book and read my story? Yeah.
Is there any dashes? Any of that? Because you know, a lot of Wendy Lee's. I was looking for you, girl, and I was.
Wendy Lee Quiet. You got to see. You got to add the Quiet Storm. Yeah, because you look up.
Is it four separate words?
No, it's all together, honey. I'm trying to make it easy on the people. Wendy Lee Quiet Storm. The only punctuation in there is at the dot. The .com. WendyLeeQuietStorm.com. You're gonna see this lovely brown sugar, biscuit brown. That's my color. Biscuit brown. Biscuit brown. Yeah. Stop me up with a biscuit. Yes, indeed. Yes, and I'm flexible. Just want you to know, I'm flexible. I'm triple jointed. I bend and bend again, honey. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Wait. You triple jointed now.
Bend and bend again, April. Yes, honey. Yes.
So how did you get the name Quiet Storm?
Because I'm quiet and I'm shy. Well, see, what people don't know, little known Black history fact, is that that I'm an introvert. I am very introvert. People don't believe that, but it's all an act. It's a performance. I'm doing a performance when I'm on the stage. You know, it's Quiet Storm. You know, And so actually what happened was so when my career actually started, after that 7 years of practicing, so I pick up from the first story that I told you. So after that 7 year span of me just having fun, air quotes, just having fun, someone sent to me an email about a Christian comedy conference that was happening. And that was in Tennessee. And that was the first time I drove that long one way. It was a 10 and a half hour drive to Tennessee and to Nashville. And so I went to this Christian comedy conference and I thought it was for aspiring comedians. Lord have mercy. And I get there and I meet like 30 to 40 different Christian comedians who are doing this thing full time. That's their main source of income. And they have been on BET Comic View. They have done commercials. They have performed with all these celebrities. They have their promo packages with all this. And I'm there with my little homemade business card that I'm like, oh my God. I was just telling you, I had my little index card on my 110 index that I did, ate up on a sheet. Yeah, because I used to work in a copy center. Yeah, that's what I did. Come there with my little homemade business card with all these professionals. And I'm like, oh my God. And that's when I learned I could get money for it. I'm like, wait a minute, this is a business? Because a part of that conference, they did the marketing and the business piece of how to get your to present your pricing and all that. I'm like, wait a minute, I get paid for this? Because, you know, let me just tell the whole truth. Being a church girl in the church, people want you to do things for the Lord. Everything is for the Lord. Or you get your pay in heaven on the other side.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want to give you a chicken dinner. Give you a chicken dinner and a biscuit. Not, I mean, you know. Yeah, but anyway, chicken dinner and a biscuit not gonna pay my bills. Chicken dinner and a biscuit not gonna put gas in my car after it drove 2-3 hours to come here. Beg y'all that. Anyway, moving on. Okay, but what happened there was the third day was a 3-day conference. So the last day of the conference, they had a panel discussion. Well, let me backtrack and say they did a test your talent piece. They did a test your talent where the veteran comedians gave critique. To the rookie comedian. So I was considered the rookie.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And so I was intimidated. Let me just say the whole truth. I was intimidated to be in a crowd full of people, even though it was refreshing though. It was a battle going on. It was refreshing to be around people who act like me, because during that time, comedy wasn't very accepted in the churches, because I guess because people thought, you know, the first idea of comedy is that, hey, you're vulgar, you're nasty, you know, and right. all that. And then they think it didn't belong in the house of God. But
right. So like God don't have a sense of humor, because girl,
exactly.
He done cracked jokes on and about me, okay?
Exactly. And so it was refreshing, you know, to be around people who act like me, who love God and like to make people laugh. But at the same time, I was intimidated because they've been on TV, they've been, and people, then you get to mingle and they say, oh, well, what shows have you been on? I'm like, yeah, you've been at the local church, at the Baptist church around the corner under the tree. But and so I was like, I ain't gonna perform. I ain't gonna have my little corny jokes in front of these veteran comedians who've been on TV. Nope. But it was such an intimate crowd that they noticed that I hadn't gone up. And they said, hold on, she haven't gone up. And then somebody said, well, we don't even believe she's a comedian because she ain't said nothing the whole weekend.
Well, the whole weekend.
But the thing is, it was one person. Like I said, my introverted personality, I took hold of one person who befriended me, and I was sitting beside her the entire weekend. So what I would do, I would say stuff under my breath, because I'm really good with bouncing off of people. When I hear somebody say something and a joke would come to me, you know, I had that quick wit where I could have a
right.
And so they were up there talking, and I would say something to the side, to the person, to the young lady that I was sitting beside. So I was making her laugh, but I could do it with a straight face. I could just say my little comment. And she laughed, and I'm just sitting there looking straight, you know, wondering what's wrong with what's happening. But, and so she spoke up. She said, oh, no, she's funny. So she's been in my ear the whole weekend making me laugh. And she said, no, she got to get on stage. So reluctantly, I got on stage, did my little 2 minutes, and they marveled. They marveled. I was like, oh, we didn't even know she could talk. But, and so the latter part, the very last part was the panel discussion. And the panel discussion, one of the questions was, do we use our given name or do we come up with a stage name? So it was three of us who wanted a stage name. So everybody there helped us to come up with a stage name. And usually the stage name is given by, you know, a physical characteristic of self. Now listen, I'm 5'8 and 120 pounds soaking wet. So of course they joked on my size. They want to call me pencil and string bean and things like that. And then they some reason they think I have a southern drawl. I don't know where they get that from.
I don't know where they get that from.
I don't know where they get that from. And so they joked on, you know, my voice. And then they said, well, she's funny, but she can really bring it. I mean, she's quiet. She's quiet. She's funny too. She's funny. But she's quiet, but she can really bring it on stage. So they messed around with that idea for a while. And someone said, Quiet Storm. I said, I like it. I like that. And it just happened to be the same young lady that I was sitting beside, you know, the whole weekend. And so, and we've been friends, you know, to this day. I mean, she's awesome. Yeah, she's been an awesome encouragement in my life. So we kept in touch. And so, yeah, so that's where the stage name Quiet comes from, because I'm quiet, you know, and a lot of people don't observe that about me. If I'm in a room full of people, especially extrovert, if I'm in a crowd when there's an extrovert there, I let them take place. The only time I do come to the forefront or I shine is if I'm around a bunch of introverts. Then I'll come, because actually I'm an ambivert. I can do half and half. Okay. Like a creamer. I'm bi-temporal. I'm bi-temporal.
You are too funny. Well, that is amazing. And you know what? You are a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
And I really have enjoyed you being here on the edge with me and my brain. Yes. We love to laugh. We love to have a good time. We love to do something different. Please come back. Let us know how to get in contact with you. I'm going to put all of your information. Brains, go in and check it out. If you got an event, if you need an opening act.
There you go. At MC, I also do MC. You know, I can host something for you. You know, the Emmy Awards, you know, the Grammy.
And I'll tell you. What these nonprofits are doing now, which I think is very powerful, is that they are doing online telethons, like Jerry Lewis used to do. You know, get some money. Get some money. This will be a perfect person to host for you.
There you go. There it is.
Okay. I'm going to plug it like a light socket. Okay.
That's exactly what
I will do, because I want people to know that you can still laugh and stuff is still funny. You can be blind, crippled, crazy, fat, ugly, straight, gay, and it'd be funny.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
And you don't have to curse to do it. And if you curse sometime, I'm not putting damper on nobody's thing. That's not everybody's thing. But to be able to listen, we don't want to compare to the days of that Mr. BC. Because that was a clean comedy, but it was funny. But look at people like Sinbad.
Right.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, hilarious. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of things that about life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Many other things to talk about. I mean, there's plenty to talk about. Life has a whole bunch of life. And I'm just getting started. I am excited about my journey, or excited about where I'm going. And you know, I'm just enjoying the journey. That's my favorite thing.
I'm excited about the wedding, because we done put the plug in for the man.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm available. I've been preparing. I've been cooking a little bit more, because I'm gonna tell you, I did a little stint, you know, where I was eating out a whole bunch of lot. And I'm like, let me regain these here cooking skills.
You better try to work on them collard greens and some cornbread.
Yeah, collard bean cornbread. Yeah, you know, do y'all do the cornbread and the black eyed peas?
Girl.
For New Year's, that New Year's tradition, that superstition.
That's
thing.
Right.
You know, any reason to eat some black eyed peas, you know, the
black eyed peas, I can make some good ones too.
Black eyed peas and stewed tomatoes. Yes, hunty.
What? You said hunty.
Cool.
And we gonna put a plug in to Tyler Perry too, because I think that he should come on in the room. We got somebody funny right over here for you.
Not toilet paper, but Tyler Perry. You said TP. Yeah, and you know what's funny? You done brought up, I had a crush on all two of them. Tyler Perry, when he first came out, I'm like, he gonna be mine. I had claimed him, girl. I mine. Cause I'm like, ooh, he gonna be mine. He gonna be mine. We about the same age too. Yeah. He gonna be mine. I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, then Sinbad,
yeah.
I just, you know, I think he was the first clean comedian on that wasn't a Christian. The first clean comedian that I saw Sinbad. And I'm like, oh, I can get with him. He was cute. You know, saw him on A Different World, you know.
I know. Like, oh. Yeah, he was really funny. I've seen him several times. You know, he was really, really funny. So you are funny too. Thank you. Come back and join me. Be back here on the edge with me. You promise? Come on.
Oh, back. Yeah, I like going to the edge. I do. I like, you can see better from the edge.
Okay.
Don't push me.
Yeah, really, unless you fall off.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having
Thank
me.
You.
It's been fun. And like to all the brains. I like talking to brains. You know, I do. I like talking to brains.
I know.
Stimulating.
Exactly. Yeah. You might get some good information. Brains, bring a little laughter into your life. You know, everything's not so serious. Don't take things so serious. Sometimes just step back, take a breath, think about it, put yourself in that situation. Do a little self-reflection. Because really, the joke is probably on you. You know, they say you can be the butt of your own joke, right?
But let it go that butt again. Butt
there we go. Yeah, wait. Where the pointer? All right. We'll talk to you again real soon, Wendy.